Sarah Cook serves as the president of the Automotive Hall of Fame, one of the terrific organizations that represents the best of the auto industry, both today and tomorrow, not just here in Michigan, but globally. Sarah, so good to have you today on the show. And I want to talk about September 19th, 2024. It's the new class coming in. Tell us about the new class of inductees into the Automotive Hall of Fame.
Hi, Sandy. Thank you so much for having me on the show today. I'm so happy to be here. And I've always wanted to talk about our new class of awardees and inductees coming in. So, yeah, like you said, September 19th, we are going to have luminaries and leaders from across the automotive industry coming to Detroit to celebrate this year's class of inductees. And we've got seven great inductees this year.
So we don't have a lot of time. Can you go through the list? And then I'm going to pick out a couple for you to expand on.
Oh, yeah. We're inducting a father-son team, Vic Edelbrock Sr., Vic Edelbrock Jr. from the Edelbrock Corporation, Dr. Betsy Anker Johnson, John James Sr., Wendell Scott, race car driver, Vivek Chan Sehgal, and Phil Ford.
So let's talk a little bit about John James Sr. Many people who are listening today probably know the James family. So tell us why John James is being inducted.
John James is an amazing contributor to the automotive industry, opened up commercial trucking industry to minorities. I went just a relentless advocate, went to court, battled, and just a fantastic leader for Detroit and the automotive industry. So we're really excited to have John James there, and he's representing that trucking and shipping, which, you know, we cover all sectors of automotive at the Automotive Hall of Fame. So we're really excited to have this piece of diversity, this trucking representation in our class of inductees.
Yeah, and his work actually changed federal law to make trucking much more competitive and much more free market. So I'm so glad that John is being inducted. Tell us a little bit about Betsy Anker Johnson. Trailblazer woman who worked for General Motors.
Yeah, if you're gonna Google Dr. Betsy Anker Johnson, the first thing that's gonna pop up is that she was an American plasma physicist. Has several patents to her name. She was a presidential appointee to the U.S. Department of Commerce under the Nixon administration. But she really did help change perspectives of gender roles in science as well as in automotive. So she was the first woman VP in the automotive industry, hired in 1979 in General Motors. And she oversaw two of the industry's most controversial areas at the time, environmental compliance and vehicle safety during the rise of the airbag.
And we just have a couple seconds left, but apparently we're inducting somebody named Bill Ford. Is that his name, Bill Ford?
Yeah, little-known contributor Bill Ford to the automotive industry, yeah. We have four posthumous awards this year and three living inductees. And this is one of our very active living inductees still in the automotive industry.
Well, I can't think of a more appropriate person than Bill Ford in this year's class, considering what we just saw at Michigan Central. Sarah Cook, President of the Automotive Hall of Fame, thank you so much for joining us. Look forward to the ceremony in September.
Absolutely. And we still do have five tables available to the ceremony. So check us out at automotivehalloffame.org.
Perfect. All right. Sarah, thanks so much. All right.
Thank you, Sandy.
That brings to a close my time at the microphone. I see the big hook looming. So it is now time for me to turn over to Marie Osborne for JR Afternoon, because Marie, you're sitting in for Chris today.
I'm sitting in for Chris. You did such a great job sitting in for Paul W. I'm surprised we got you here with all the great stuff that's happening, certainly in this little Detroit area that we like to call home. a lot going on, so it's great to have you here.
Well, thank you so much, Marie. It you know, obviously with the team that that is here that you get to work with all the time, they've made this easy, and more importantly, they've made it fun.
Well, that's, you know, the two things about doing radio is you want to do important work, but you also want to have fun while you're doing it. You want to be informative, and certainly, you know, you had a great show today. I mean, certainly this Automotive Hall of Fame, those are names that all of us really should know and really should remember, because they are certainly the backbone of our community.
Well, and I got to thank the little village that helps me do everything. You know, Matt Friedman from Tanner Friedman, Megan Spanitz, our chief strategy officer, Katia Sabak, our communications director, and the many other people that, you know, again, it takes me a village, you know, to move me anywhere.
So I'm curious, because a lot, you know, we get a lot of people in here who don't do radio every single day, obviously. And so, like, when you sit down there, what's going through your mind? Like, how do you transfer the skills that you have in the business world and the business arena to sit down behind that microphone?
Well, the first and only thought that's really going through my head this last 2 hours is don't mess it up.
Or why am I doing this?
Yeah, don't mess it up. I would use other language, but I do understand that I'm on radio.
Yeah.
Well, I will tell you that, one, you know, growing up in politics, you know, doing a lot of public speaking, doing a lot of moderation at events, including our Mackinac Policy Conference or our State of the Region, this is harder. I mean, this is definitely harder. It is much easier to interview someone when you're sitting right in front of them or with them. You can read the body cues. You know, it's easier to tell someone that, hey, you've gone on too long, time to wrap up, you know, by kicking them in the shins or something. Hard, that's harder to do over the radio.
And boy, you've really zeroed in on one of the biggest issues that we have, is what kind of verbal cues can you give a guest who's on, you know, the other side, not in front of you, but let's say on the phone? What kind of verbal cue can you give them to let them know, oh, you know, that's right, they're telling me to wrap this up? And that's, you know, it takes some finessing, but you obviously have the skill to do that. I mean, that's part of what you do, I think, in just general communication in your line of work. But it is, you know, it's always a challenge to sit down behind that microphone. I will tell you, though, radio offers you one thing, a deep personal relationship with listeners, people who don't know you. Mm-hmm. And people generally, you know, really like you. They want to have a relationship with you. They want to hear what you have to say, just as we want to hear what they have to say. Radio is really special that way.
Yeah, and it strikes me as the listeners know almost immediately if you're being authentic or if you're not.
100%, as Paul W. says, 1,000%. Yes, absolutely. You can't fake it here. You really cannot.
Now, I will say, Marie, that, you know, I had obviously a lot of advantages. One, I have this village that follows me around. But the other thing is that all of our guests that we had on the 2 hours that I sat in for Paul W. today were people that I knew well. These were friends of mine. So that was super helpful that I wasn't learning their bios, you know, 1 hour in advance. I wasn't trying to figure out how to pronounce their names, you know, and that, you know, obviously makes it a lot easier. Those of you who do this day in and day out, you don't have that luxury.
Well, it was a pleasure having you on board with us.
A real pleasure, Marie. Have a great show, and I'll be listening.
Thank you.